the passage in Luke chapter 2, very familiar about the shepherds this morning, and I'd like you to turn there to Luke chapter 2. Starting with verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Now listen, if you and I were in charge of the first coming of our Lord and Savior to this earth, if you and I were in charge of it, we would have never have done it the way that God did it. We would have been really building it up and making a big hay about it, but you know what? God said, no, you know what? I'm going to send angels to shepherds, and I'm going to let them be the first ones to hear the good news. And why is that significant? Why is that important to us? Well, look at this quote up here on the screen. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said this: "By the nature of their work, shepherds were considered unclean, which meant they could not go to worship at the temple. Shepherds were not permitted to testify as witnesses in court either. So those whose lives were devoted to keeping the law looked down on them." So this morning, you know what? I wanted to give all of you just three simple lessons from this Christmas story about the shepherds. All right? And our very first one is this. These are lessons about God. God is impartial. He's impartial. He loves people the world considers as unimportant. He loves people the world considers as unimportant. And in the book of Job, there's a verse referencing our God that says, "He is not partial to princes, nor does he regard the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands." See, every single one of us was created by God Almighty. We came into existence because God deemed it. He wanted you and I to be here on this earth for some purpose. In this book called The Best Kept Secret of Christian Mission, a man named John Dixon wrote these words. He said, "Under God, my own conversion was the result of one person's willingness to embody the mission of friend of sinners." Friend of sinners. One of the relics of Australia's Christian heritage is the once-a-week scripture lesson offered in many state high schools around the country. One of these scripture teachers, Glender was her name, had the courage to invite my entire class to her home for discussions about God. The invitation would have gone unnoticed, except she added, "If anyone gets hungry, I'll be making hamburgers, milkshakes, and scones. I don't know how you would say that in Australian, but anyway, she invited all these young people over, and John Dixon said, as I looked around the room at all my friends, all skeptics like me, I was amazed that this woman would open her home and her kitchen to all of us. Some of us were the worst sinners in the entire school. One was a drug user and seller. One was a class clown and a bully. And one was a thief with a string of breaking and entering charges to his credit. I could not figure Brenda out. She was wealthy and intelligent. She had an exciting social life, married to a leading Australian businessman. What was she thinking inviting us for a meal and a discussion? At no point was this teacher pushy or preachy. Her style was completely relaxed and incredibly generous. When her VCR went missing one day, she made almost nothing of it, even though she suspected, quite reasonably, it was someone from our group. For me, her open, flexible, generous attitude toward us sinners was the doorway into a life of faith. As we ate and drank and talked, it was clear that this was no missionary ploy on her part. She truly cared for us and treated us like friends, or perhaps more accurately, like sons. As a result, over the course of the next year, she introduced several of us from the class to the ultimate friend of sinners, Jesus. So the first truth that we learn from the Christmas story of the shepherds here is that God's impartial. He loves people the world considers as unimportant, just like that school teacher down in Australia did. But there's a second truth here I'd like to see here. And you know what's interesting on the second truth? I find it interesting that the shepherds didn't go looking for God. God came looking for them right where they were at. And he shines his light on them in the midst of their darkness out in the fields. I'd like you to notice beginning with verse 9 here. An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory or the brightness of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. They were terrified. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings." I'm bringing you good news. "Great joy which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior." There's the good news. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. The angel tells the shepherds not to be terrified, not to be afraid, because he has great news for them. God is near. The long-awaited Messiah was born that very day in their city, and his name is Emmanuel. You remember what that Emmanuel means? God with us. That's his name. God with us. God didn't wait for us to go to him. God came to you and I. You know, I remember when I was in college, I was an engineering student at that time at Purdue. Summertime, I got a job after my first year there, and I got a job in a factory. And you all have heard the story, most of you, many times. But you know what? I was out working, welding railroad cars in that factory the entire summer. And you know what? God was not anywhere in my mind or in my heart at that time. I didn't go to God. God came to me. He didn't let me get a job at Youngstown Steel. He didn't let me get a job at Inland Steel. He didn't get me a job at other places. I'm like, what's going on here? There's jobs everywhere. Why? A friend of mine called me, "Hey, there's welding jobs." Why? Because God wanted me to go to that factory where he had faithful people. There were men there that began to tell me the good news. Just like those shepherds heard good news, these men began to tell me good news. And do you know what that good news was, everybody? That good news was Bob, yes, you're a sinner, and you're a bad one at that. But I have an absolutely free gift for you. I have the gift of eternal life, and I want you to have it. I love you. My son Jesus loves you. The Holy Spirit of God loves you. And we want you to have this gift that Jesus purchased on the cross. God the Father said, Bob, I planned it before you were ever born. My son purchased it as he hung on the cross. He bought this gift for you of eternal life. And the Holy Spirit of God is now speaking to your heart and drawing you to Jesus. And you know what? At that factory, June 20th, Wednesday night, June 20th, 1979, I realized I'm not heading to heaven when I die. I'm heading to eternity without God. And that night, everyone, I believed in Jesus. Oh, I had always believed that he existed, but that night, I believed in him in a way that brings eternal life, in a way that saves us, in a way that brings us forgiveness of sin. I believed in him to give me a gift of eternal life. Let me ask you today, have every one of you in your time on this earth, have you all already put your faith in Jesus and in him alone to give you something you could never earn? You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't say, but God, I'll do the best. That's not good enough, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. So when God says, hey, I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I'll have my son pay for all your sins. Now he'll give you his very own life. He'll give you eternal life. You can live forever and ever. At that factory, I got saved. God forgave my sins. The next night I came back to my coworkers and I said, guys, I got saved last night. And folks, my entire life, God turned around in an amazing way. And you know what? The bad things in my life, they didn't drop off immediately. I was bringing a lot of baggage in with me. But guess what? God forgives us where we're at. He gives you his absolutely free gift where you're at. You don't have to get cleaned up before he gives it to you. You let him give it to you through faith in him, and then he'll help you clean it up. He'll help you. And listen, that was many, many years, 41 years ago, or 40 years ago, going on 41. And little by little, God has been working in me, and he's continuing to do so today. But listen, everyone, I got that gift 40 years ago. And because that gift is eternal life, it has been mine in the good days and the bad days. In the days when I do well for God, and in the days that I do terribly for God, when I'm not very good and kind and gracious. And so, the question is, have you received that gift? And I want you just to think about that, and I'm going to ask our men to come forward, and we're going to go ahead and share the first part of the Lord's Supper. Review. The very first truth this morning that we talked about is this. We have that next slide, please. The first lesson that we learned about God is that he's in a God who's impartial. Everybody is on even keel with God. What that means is that God doesn't look at rich people and love them more than he loves the poor. He doesn't look at one race and love that race over another race. He's impartial. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's on their way to heaven, because that comes but when we receive the free gift of eternal life. But the wonderful truth is that God loves each of us. We're not considered unimportant. Everybody is important to God. Number two, the second thing we learned is that God is near. He comes to people where they are at rather than where they ought to be. And I told you the story at the factory that God was near at that factory. Man, one night I remember looking through the back doors of that factory and hearing a group of about 90 men, grown men. I never saw anything like this. I'm serious. I was almost 19 years old, and I'm looking through the door, and there's 90 grown men, strong, muscular. They're out there, and they're singing Amazing Grace. No music, just their voices. And I'm looking at their faces, and I'm like, man, these guys mean this. This matters to them. They really mean what they're singing. And you know what? God was just grabbing my heart then. And you know what? This guy came up behind me, and you all remember the story. This guy came up behind me. He had a purple hat on. The guys that had the purple hard hats on, we called them hookers because they would hook the trains onto the crane. But anyway, they weren't real hookers. They were just regular hookers that worked in the factory. But anyway, he came up behind me while I'm watching. You know, I'm sitting there having this amazing experience watching these men sing. God's just grabbing me by the heart. And guess what? This guy comes up behind me and he says, and he starts cussing, what I couldn't do with a blickety-blanket hand grenade. And man, he was, and you know what? Right that minute, it's like God came down on my shoulder and he says, Bob, you've got what he's got. You don't have what they have. Does that sound Chicago-ish enough for you? Bob, you've got what that guy's got. You don't have what. And you know what? I just had to agree with God. And you know, it wasn't very long after that that I became a believer in Christ. I became a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So that's the first two lessons. Now one more, and then we'll take the cup. Number three, the lesson three about God is this. He is thoughtful. He is thoughtful. His gift of eternal life is for all people rather than a privileged few. His gift is for all people. He doesn't say, okay, I want you to have it and you to have it. No, I don't want you to have it. I don't want you to have it. The elders, the deacons, no, you ain't getting it. They said they already have it. I know. What I'm saying is this. God isn't that way. God's desire is that every human being have this wonderful gift. The old preacher said long ago, from the guttermost to the uttermost, God receives everybody. Everybody that'll put their faith in Christ, he'll give them eternal life. He's no respecter of persons. You know, when someone gives you a gift and you take that and it's just so wonderful, you might say, thank you so much. That was so thoughtful of you. That means that you're recognizing that they invested time and money to bring joy to your life, right? Right? Thank you so much. It just means something to you. Well, Jesus came to earth, everyone. He invested his own life in order that we could have eternal life. He died for every person. Now, there's some churches you go to and they'll say, no, God didn't die for everybody. Jesus only died for the people that would receive him. No, no. The Bible says, John the Baptist pointed at Jesus and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Not the elect, not the chosen ones. He takes away the sins of the whole world. Jesus paid for every single human being's sins who ever lived. Nobody will be able to stand before Jesus one day and say, you didn't die for my sins. You weren't fair to me. No, Jesus died for everyone's sins, and he wants everyone to have this gift. It's a free gift, absolutely free. Look at chapter 2 and verse 10. The angels in this story said to the shepherds, I bring you good tidings, good news of great joy. What's this great joy? Which will be to some people. No, all people. For there is born to you, okay, the shepherds, the lowly shepherds, the ones that the society says, hey, you can't come in our church. First of all, you smell. Second of all, you're shepherds, you're unclean. You've been around these filthy animals. They were unclean, not only physically, they were unclean spiritually, and they were despised. The shepherds heard, this Messiah is born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Oh my goodness. They're probably like, why are you appearing to us? We can't go into the... And he says, no. And you know what? The next thing they knew, they were looking for Jesus in Bethlehem. They were making a run to that manger to see that newborn baby. And men, would you stand now? And I'm going to pass out the cup. But I want to read something. I'll read this after I pass out these things to the men. I have a quote here I want you to see, but let me first pass these to the men. And then I'm going to pray again. All right. And here's what I wanted you to hear. Listen to this. This is so good. Our greatest need. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been enjoyment, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts this morning. We're so thankful that our Lord Jesus is here with us. He walks in the midst of his churches. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for dying for us on the cross. We thank you for offering all of us this absolutely free gift with no strings attached, no hoops to jump through. Just asking us, here, I bought this for you. Would you take it? It's eternal life. You could live with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you for the blood you shed for us on that cross. And we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen. So why do we do this strange thing? Why do we eat a little wafer? Why do we drink a little cup of grape juice? They're symbols. It's the way that Jesus said, until I come back to earth, I want my people to remember what I did for them. I want them to see that that wafer represents my body. It was broken, scarred, it was wounded for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes across his back, we are healed. That's what led to our spiritual healing, is the stripes. When the blood goes out of a human body, the body dies. Life can't continue unless we have blood pumping through our veins. And Jesus, on the cross, the blood poured out of his body, and he gave up his spirit, and he went home to be with his Father. And on the night before he was betrayed, he told his disciples, he said, "Men, I'm not going to drink this again with you until I drink it with you anew in my Father's kingdom. I'm going to come back to earth. I'm going to set up my kingdom on earth. No more will there be human governments. I'm going to rule the entire earth. I'm going to rule over the entire earth. Then I'm going to drink this with you anew and afresh." And so here at Ridge Point, we say every time we take the Lord's Supper, we hold our cup up and we say, next time with Christ, because the next time we may drink this may not be here, we may be in the kingdom of Christ. So let's hold up our cup and say it together. Ready? Next time with Christ. And at this time, we're going to have a special from Teresa entitled Noel. a very special music video for you before we close. But I wanted to share one more story. And this goes back to February of 2001. On February 24th of 2001, a one-year-old Canadian girl named Erica Norby somehow wandered out of her mother's bed and her mother's house and spent the entire night in the Edmonton winter. Now, folks, this isn't Dallas, Texas in the winter. This is Edmonton, Canada. It's very, very cold. When her mother, Layla Norby, found her, Erica appeared to be totally frozen. Her legs were stiff, her body frozen, and all signs of life appeared to be gone. Erica was treated at Edmonton's Stollery Children's Health Center, and God helped doctors and rescue workers bring her back to life. An amazing, amazing story. To the amazement of all, there appeared to be no sign of brain damage. Doctors gave Erica a clear prognosis. She would soon be able to hop and skip and play like other girls her age. Wow. Man. Amazing. Amazing. Now, you know what? Maybe you're here today, and even though people around you may not be aware of it, from a spiritual viewpoint, maybe you would say in the quietness of your heart, you know what? I'm kind of like this little one-year-old. I'm kind of frozen spiritually. I'm kind of frozen spiritually. Maybe your heart toward God is and God and other people is hardened and cold like the little girl in the snow. Well, I want you to think back about those lessons I gave you earlier about God. No matter where you're at, He comes to you not in the place where you're supposed to be, He comes to you where you're at. Not where you ought to be, but where you're at. And you know what? Today would be an amazing day. For instance, if you're here today and you're not 100% sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die, in just a moment when I pray, it would be the best time in your life to bow your head and say, Lord, I've never put my faith in You for the gift of eternal life. I've prayed to You maybe, and I've called out in Your name, and I've even done things for other people, hoping to please You. But Lord, I never put my faith in You for Your free gift. I've always thought I had to earn it, Lord. I always thought I had to earn it. But the good news is, nobody can earn it. You can only receive it. And it's free. Just like at Christmas, if your mom or dad or a relative gives you a gift, you don't pull your wallet out and say, how much do I owe you? They would look at you. Why do we do that with God? God's offering you a gift of eternal life. How much do I owe you, God? What do I got to do? How much should I give the church? No. It's free. Absolutely free. Glory to God. And maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Bob, you know what? I'm a child of God. I've already put my faith in Jesus. I know He's given me the gift of eternal life. But you know what? I'm frozen too. I'm frozen solid spiritually. God doesn't mean anything to me. Well, again, today's the day you can bow your head and say, Lord, have mercy on me, forgive me, help me in the days ahead to put You first. To put You first. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself. The two greatest commandments. All right. Why don't we bow our heads? And right now, this is silent night during the day. This is silent night during the day. Right now, let's get quiet in our own hearts. Right now, bow your head, close your eyes, and just meditate right there and think. Think, have you put your faith in Jesus and in Him alone for the gift of eternal life? If you haven't, why not right at this moment put your faith in Him? Say, Lord, I believe You. I believe Your promise, Lord. I believe that you give eternal life to human beings absolutely free, and it will last me forever and ever. Believe in him for that. Just take him at his word. Take him at his word. God never breaks his promises. And then, Christians, if you're here today and you're a little bit cold, you're a little bit distant from God, listen, this is a great day to renew your heart before God. Just say, Lord, have mercy on me as well, and help me to love you the way I should. Father, thank you for these precious people that you sent so that we could share the good news of great joy with them, that God loves them and he wants to walk with them and give them eternal life and give them abundant life. Thank you, Father. And we pray these things in your precious name.